mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, that's one of the fastest Gospels I've ever had on a Sunday. I mean, it just moves. It's like, you know, Jesus is teaching. He sees a woman. He cures her. They complain. He sets it in order. Everybody's happy. Yay, Jesus. We're done. Okay, we'll go on with the service. No, we won't. Sorry to do that to you. There is more here. A whole lot more. And in fact, the reality is, I'm not familiar with this passage. I mean, it's not one of the passages that sticks in my mind. It's not as famous as many others. And in fact, because maybe it's so well put together, so structured in the way it unfolds, you can almost see it. It's like a movie scene rolling out. It has sort of been, when I've read, when I've moved on from. But the more time that I spent with this scripture, the more I realized that there's a whole lot going on here that we might want to consider for this morning. Now, let's just take a look as you look at the text. It's not a long text. So as you read it with me, you can see that he was teaching in one of the synagogues, not stated where. Could have been in Jerusalem, could have been up in his hometown, could have been in a whole other community. But he's teaching on the Sabbath. Sabbath in the Jewish time becomes Friday evening through sunset on Saturday, the Sabbath day. And so Jesus is teaching, and he's always been teaching in the Gospel of Luke. By the way, this is the only gospel where this story appears. He's always been teaching in Luke. Right from the very beginning, Jesus' proclamation is that he's here to teach, to bring the word, and that he is the living embodiment of that word. The very first major event that he does is preach from a text in a synagogue. So he's teaching, and he may be in an area where only men are allowed. And so this woman passes by. She's probably like at the back of where we would be here in this church. And she probably moves from one end to the other. And she's bent over. Now that's really bent over. She can only be like this. One can imagine how slow she has to move, because she cannot stand up straight. And she just moves on by. She does not stop and say, Jesus, heal me. No, in fact, she just keeps moving on until she's almost out of the picture. But Jesus sees her. And he interrupts his teaching to go and be with her. One of the things about the summer months and the Gospels that we usually get here is they're often taught lessons to the faithful about what it means to be a disciple of Christ, what it means to follow Jesus. So here's a Gospel in which Jesus is inviting us to see what it means to be one of his disciples and what it means to be Jesus. So the minute he sees her, he walks over to her and he says, woman, you are healed and set free from your ailment. And then, it doesn't say then, it says when in the scripture, when he laid his hands on her, he just reaches out and touches her. Immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Now we are at the beginning of this story. We do hear that Luke says that she was crippled by a spirit. In our times, as we have come to look at the Gospels and to understand more about our humanity and more about our own development, our own psychological development, we know that this is not necessarily a spirit. But we do know that it could be a spirit of what we are bearing within us and a spirit of what may be going on outside of us that cripples her. And he cures her, and she gives praise. But the leader of the synagogue is not happy. You see, they have really strict rules about what you do on the Sabbath. And Jesus reminds the leader of the synagogue and all those present and us as we are here today that it's not about rules. It's not about rules. It's about relationships. Two. Love God. Love your neighbor. That's it. That's what it's all about. Love God. Love your neighbor. And he goes on to chastise this person and all who would follow in that light to say, this is what's most important. When I was growing up, a while ago, I grew up in Chicago Heights, Illinois. Anybody know where that is? Far south suburb. Okay, all right. I went to St. Agnes Church in... Somebody knows that? Oh, okay. So I went there. I went to seminary in the Archdiocese of Chicago at the age of 13. I went to Quigley Preparatory Seminary, which is downtown at Rush and Chestnut, along with all the nightclubs and everything else. There's this beautiful Gothic, French Gothic building that was the seminary. And every day before I got on the bus to go to the train, to go to the water tower in Chicago, I would go to church. I would go to 6:30 Mass every day, because that was what was required. And every day, because I was thinking about this when I was visioning this woman, there was a woman at the 6:30 service who wore only black. I later came to know that she was of Italian ancestry. She had lost her husband many years ago. And every day, she would, at the end of the service, as I was getting ready and chatting with my friends to leave, I would watch her make her slow way, because she was bent, but not severely bent, aged and black, and she would go and light a candle at the little vigil lights. You ever seen those in churches, all the little lights? And she would light one every day, very slowly. And I would always see that out of the corner of my eye. I never ever saw her face. In my mind, I can't remember it. I may have seen it, but it was kind of not there. It was kind of like gone. So this gospel this morning is saying, you need to look. You, Al, you need to see. Because this is what Jesus is doing. He is looking and seeing, and he's moving beyond the crowd to the one who is outside of the crowd. She is a female in a synagogue She is a person with a disability. And because of that, she is unclean. Rules are rules, you know. She's unclean. So when he heals her on the Sabbath, he sets some wheels a-spinning. And he does more than just say, "You're healed." He touches her, which makes him unclean. He has stepped out to point out, love God, love your neighbor. You know, I think of that woman that I don't remember who she was or what she looked like. And I'm disturbed by that. And there is more that came out of that for me as I begin to look at the world around me. We are in very difficult and challenging times. And anyone who would say we're not, is not looking. And Jesus is saying, you have to look. Because it's all about seeing. And so I have to ask myself, what am I blind to? What am I blinded by? And maybe even more importantly, who do I choose not to see? Barbara Brown Taylor, an Episcopal priest, writer, writes, "The problem is many of people in need of saving are in churches. And at least part of what they need saving from is the idea that God sees the world the same way they do." So, seeing as God would see, as Jesus would see. Mark Nepo, N-E-P-O, is a poet. In his book, The Exquisite Risk, Daring to Live an Authentic Life, he says, "Fearful people do not want to sit with broken people because they don't want to be slowed down. They don't want to look at what is broken in themselves." He writes, "When we dare to hold those forced to the ground, dare to hold them close, the truth of holding and listening sings, and we are carried into the wisdom of broken bones and how things heal. There are the quiet braves we all need, the courage to wait and watch with all of who we are, the courage to admit that we are not alone, the courage to hold each other to the ear of our heart, and the courage to care for things that are broken. People and things are broken." Another piece that came to me last weekend was the New York Times, which I happen to still receive, although I've been transplanted back to the Midwest for a few years. Sunday edition. I put it aside, did not open it, and then on Monday I opened it and started looking at it, and there were two sections in there. And they were big, and I started looking at them. And they were titled 1619. Anybody hear that term recently? 1619? 1619 is a year. 1619, around this time of the year in 1619, in Virginia, the first African slave ship arrived in the United States. Jesus wants us to see. Wants us to see those who have been broken. Those who are on the margins. Those who need to be included. Who are looking for a healing of sorts. Jesus is also looking at you and me. We're broken too. We're here today to celebrate the healing that is Christ in this breakfast of champions. This breakfast that will nurture us and feed us and heal us and will allow us to see. Because we need to be healed in order to heal those who are waiting to be healed. Teresa of Avila in the 1500s writes, "Christ has no body on earth but ours, no hands but ours, no feet but ours. Ours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion looks out on the world." We need to see, because we are Christ's eyes in this world. My prayer, which I will echo again at the end of this service, is that we will go from this place without fear, nourished and healed by communion and community, to be the body of Christ in the world, that we may see and reach out. In Jesus' name. Amen.